intervention, for what the Lord has been doing in our midst. Hallelujah. Great ministries have been coming, and we trust the Lord that He will bring more ministry unto us. It's a fearful and humble position to when you have your father in the house and to stand and to minister. But the Bible said Jesus Christ was hungry, though He owns a tree. He went there to look for food from the tree, but He owns it. The joy of Him, of it, is that He might see the labor or the fruit of His labor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, Lord, we thank You. Lord, we bless You for this time that we want to hear You. We want to listen to one another. Lord, we ask that You bring us help. You bring us ministry. Even as You Yourself we minister, that we'll be able to talk as we ought to. Lord, we exalt You. In Jesus' mighty name. I just want to share a brief thought, meditation on the conference on Abraham, on the Abraham company and the Lot company. I just want to share a bit parallel view. Just to share a thought on living in a promise, living in the realm of promise. I want to share a thought in that line. I trust the Lord that this meditation, the Lord will empower it, and something will minister unto us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said the Lord called Abraham and gave him a promise. But Lot went with him without the promise. I will take my reading from Genesis chapter 12. See, Abraham had a promise, but Lot didn't have the promise. I want to draw a line in this thought, comparing with us the effect of the promise, what the promise can do, how the promise can strengthen us. What difference does it make to have the promise? It appears when you don't have the promise, whatever that happens becomes a promise. Anything that falls along the way becomes a promise. It's a promise that keeps the focus. And this is the thought I want to share with us. Hallelujah. I want to read Genesis chapter 12. Just take a few verses, then I go to Genesis. I go a bit further to see the promise. Hallelujah. I trust the Lord to minister to us in this scripture and also minister to us our own work. We have the Christians who have the promise or who are aware of the promise. We also have Christians who are not aware of the promise, who just tag along, and we trust the Lord to speak to us in this direction. I read, "Now the Lord hath said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thy seed all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed, and the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed. Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan that they came. Hallelujah. Now the Lot, from this experience, Lot didn't have the promise. Abraham had the promise. Abraham had a canter with God, and he took Lot. The vision was related to Abraham. It was not related to Lot. When Lot prospered, he thought he has realized, he has arrived. When you don't have the promise, anything that happened by the side, the event of life, if it happens on your right hand, you can turn into the right hand. When it happened at your left hand, you can turn into your left hand. They said the right hand is pleasure, good success. The right hand is tribulation, agony. If you don't have the promise, you cannot stay focused. But the promise to Abraham, it came to a point that it became elastic. In chapter 14, the Bible said the Lord took Abraham and asked him to look at the sky, that if he can number the star, if he can tell the number of the stars, so will he be. It's like the Lord told him how much you can see in me. What can you see in me? Look. Whatever you can see in me, that you will get. And the Bible said, Abraham dwelled in tent, despite all his success. He said he lived in a city, Hebrews chapter 11, like a stranger, even the land that was promised to him. He realized something when the Lord took him and asked him to look at the heavens. He realized that this wasn't just a physical promise, that there is something the divine is talking about. The Bible said Abraham lived as a stranger, searching for who that has planted the stars, who have showed him that which is uncountable. He said he began to look for that city, who builder and maker is God. This was the difference. This was the difference. Peter put it, he said, many will say, where is the promise of his coming? Things have remained the same. He said, but we must take earnest and more diligent attention that city that dwelleth in righteousness and holiness, that we might receive it. Hallelujah. The theologian Saint Peter wrote that scripture after about 60 something years of age. He must have seen something. Hallelujah. Now, what are we saying? The promise keeps us focused. For the joy that was set before the Lord, the promise that the Father gave unto him, he said he endured the cross. He set his focus, his gaze, his attention on the promise. And he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He despised the contradiction of men. Hallelujah. How does it apply to us? The Bible said, he that believes in the name of the Lord will not perish, but we have everlasting life. We have eternal life. That is the promise to us. If you take the promise away, if you take the eternal life away, whatever that happened on the wayside becomes the prosperity, becomes the promise, becomes God has performed his word. I want us to look at that line, what the Lord is saying about the promise. The promise to Abraham, the promise to us, and the journey before us, and the things we ought to be doing. Hallelujah. Let's turn to John chapter 6. I will be talking from there time to time. John chapter 6. Hallelujah. I want us to take a verse. There's something happened here. Event that happened in Lot and Abraham's life happens here to the disciple. Jesus began to minister some hard things, difficult to swallow. Jesus began to minister about eating his flesh, drinking his blood, and many were offended. The Bible said all left the Lord, and the Lord asked the disciple, will you not also go? Would you not also follow them? There was their response of Peter. He said, thou hast the word of eternal life. He said, where shall we go? The promise is in nowhere. You have the promise. We can see that the promise is the key. Okay, let me make a big analogy. If we all have parents, we grew up under our parents, whether you are an old man, you remember, if your dad is going somewhere and he said, I'm going to buy you a toy on my way from the journey, but don't watch this film or don't touch the television, we know we will make all efforts to ensure we obtain the promise. Hallelujah. We won't give sleep to our eyelid. We won't allow anything to distract us. We will ensure that we obtain the promise. Hallelujah. Now this event that happened to the disciple here, their response here, it didn't just happen. There was a time in their life that they were like Lot. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. The Lord meant a young man who has so much wealth. And the Lord asked the young man to sell all that he had. But the disciple responded. He said, but Lord, what then is our gain? We have left everything. The Lord has to baptize them. The promise is not told unto you. Hallelujah. The promise is not a story. It's a revelation. And it comes with baptism. And that is the line we want to look at. He said, but we have left everything. Now, these are the thoughts
These are the desires that were in their hearts. We are looking to be rich. We want to be governors. We want to be rulers. Now this man has attained to the estate we admire. What we are longing for. Now you are saying this man should despise this thing away. Lord, then, what is our gain? The Lord has to baptize them into the promise. The Lord has to immerse them into the promise. He said, in the regeneration of the Son of Man, he said, thou shalt sit in the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The same promise to Abraham. Thou shalt be father of all nations. Thou shalt sit. The same promise. Hallelujah. Their gaze changed. The Lord make it clear to them that it wasn't about just riches. It's about the kingdom that is to come. Hallelujah. If now the when we talk about internal life for many of us, it's good to look at it clearly so that we understand the promise before we move. Because if we have this background clearly, it will be easier for us to flow together and to reason together. Jesus said, this is the internal life I give you, that you might know him. John chapter 17 verse 3. As the only God, that you might know him as the only God. And Jesus Christ, the only Son who he sent. That is the promise. Coming to a point where there is no darkness. When light does not, light do not dwell anymore inside. Where you don't rely on your strength, you don't rely on anything. Hallelujah. He said, this is the internal life. Bringing you to a point from the point of darkness to a point of where you have full light from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Where you have a perfect understanding. Where your thought cannot go aside. Hallelujah. It's a journey. This is the thought I want us to look at. This journey, this path, the things that are involved. The Lord has been talking to us about them. I want us to pay a bit of attention to it. Paul said, having walked, having ministered, he said that I might know you and the fellowship of thy suffering. That by any means I may be made conform to the death, the suffering and the death and the resurrection of the dead. After walking so many years. Hallelujah. Now there is activity required. Jeremiah put it, he said, and the Lord will make a feast of fastings, and we will eat. And the covering cast over us shall be broken. Isaiah chapter 25. Sorry, Isaiah. Habakkuk said, and then with the knowledge of the Lord, cover us as the water covereth the sea. Then we shall know him the way he knows us.
Internal life. Knowing him as the only God. We still have other definitions. We still have other thoughts within us. We still believe somehow we can do something. We still believe somehow there is another God. We still believe that somebody is somewhere that God might be sleeping. He said that we might know him as the only God. It's not a mind experience.
is not a thought. It's a realm where we encounter light. And light swallow up our entire being. Hallelujah. And Paul said, when there is a bit shade, you know the Lord in the midst of this thing, you are not sure what the Lord will do. It speaks of corruption. You are not sure. But you are a Christian. When things happen, you are not really too sure. Is this the Lord this way? You haven't known him as he is. You haven't known him as the only God. You haven't known him as the only one that has the power. You haven't known him as the Alpha and the Omega. You haven't known him as the one who everything ends at his bus stop. You may have heard of it. Job said, I have heard. He took series of preaching for Job's mind to be open, for his soul to be open. He said, look, I have heard. He said, but now I have seen. He did not see God. But there was something that came into his soul. A series of exhortation for God to show to Job that he is the only God. It's a journey. Hallelujah. And Jesus described it, the journey, as a cross. He said, "You except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." Jesus is the cross. Is the experience cross. Is the cross worked out. The self-denial, the life of self-denial worked out. He said, "I am the way." He said, "If any man will come after me, let him take his cross daily and follow me." If any man will not take his cross, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus. Amos put it this way. We come back to John chapter 6. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "In that day, the Lord will send scarcity, not of bread, but of the word of the Lord." In that day, there will be scarcity of the word of the Lord. There will be bread abundant. There will be stories. There will be abundant ministries. He said, "For the flesh profited nothing. He killeth. But the spirit quickened. And the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life." He said, in that day, that word that is spirit and life will be scarce. There will be abundance of words. Bread will be full supply, but the word of the Lord will be scarce. We are in that day. You don't hear Jesus anymore. We hear the things that excite us only. When the Lord quickened Philip to meet the eunuch, it's Jesus he preached. He said, and he preached Jesus, the cross. He said, he preached Jesus to the eunuch. Nothing, Jesus, the way. The life worked out. And Romans chapter 5 put it this way. Verse 9 and 10. It says, if we are saved, much more then, being not justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, by Jesus, by the cross. Now let me give a big background here. The kingdom of heaven is built upon the cross and love. Two things. The Father denied himself, his only begotten son. in order to establish the kingdom of heaven. Now, no one can live in the kingdom of heaven, or no one can be partaker without denying his own self. Now, the kingdom of heaven is built on this foundation. Now, this foundation cannot take anything else. Hallelujah. Let me take it a bit more further so that we progress a bit from the promise and see some of the things. Now, the foundation of the life that is required of the kingdom of heaven, the Bible said, all the scripture witnessed to it, but the way to it was not made known until the time of John the Baptist. And the way was revealed, and men began to press into it. And the way is a cross, is a self-denial, is denying of the soul. When we talked about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look at the crucifixion, you think it was that day. The Lord has crucified himself even before they crucify him. The Lord Jesus Christ has crucified himself. He has done the last bit of attachment of his soul was dealt with at that Mount Gethsemane. He dealt with it. The last bit of human attachment of all the people that he had was dealt with that day. He has on daily basis crucified himself before he was crucified. He has offered himself. What are we saying? We are talking about offering. That's what we are talking about. We are talking about offering that's required to build the tabernacle, that place the Lord wants to dwell. Hallelujah. We are not talking about stories. We are talking about bringing an offering to the Lord. Exodus chapter 25. He said, and you unwilling heart, you shall bring offering of gold, of silver, and of bronze. And you shall make a tabernacle for me. It is this offering we are talking about. The promise was in view, that he might dwell. Hallelujah. Each time we are tried, each time the Lord is hungry, the Lord demands an offering. Each time the enemy is hungry, he demands an offering as well. Whichever one we offer, if it's the offering of the Lord, his tabernacle is built. If it's the offering of the enemy, his kingdom is built. It is this offering we are talking about. Bringing this offering unto him for that tabernacle to be built. The offering of gold is very expensive. The whole of the soul. The offering of the whole of the soul. Denying of all the legitimate. Now, let me make one point here before I go further. The enemy, he doesn't fight you for coming to church. What he's fighting is Jesus, the cross. It's a cross he wants to take away. The Bible says Jesus Christ has fasted 40 days. He has starved him. And he came to show him his right. You know, man has rights. We have legitimate rights. When the enemy came to tempt him, he came to show him his right as a man. What he can do as a man. His ability as a man. That which will strengthen his kingdom. But he said, for man shall not live by bread alone. Amen. What am I saying? The battle we are in is the cross. The enemy is not fighting anything. He's fighting to show us our right. When he met the first man, as we saw yesterday, he shows the man his right. What the man can do. Now the problem we have is our right. What we can do for ourselves. How righteous or how legal it is for us to have it.
Hallelujah. But the Bible said he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. They overcame him by the cross life. It wasn't wasn't just bleeding the blood. They overcame him by a life, a denying life. They moved beyond a legitimate, the normal life. The Bible said, I don't know how to put it. It said David lived a life that Saul could not comprehend. He lived a cross life. He said, look, he was so meek that Saul became fearful. Saul set trap, what man should live. Saul walked, what Saul did was to, he knew how man should behave. And he positioned himself in a manner that man should behave. But David lived above what it obtained of man. He denied the legitimate what is expected of man, of his caliber at his time. Therefore, none of his stripes, or the snare that he put in the way was able to cut him. He said, he overcame me by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. It's a great call. It's a great promise. Brethren, I strongly believe that the Lord will open our eyes to know him, to truly see him, so that we can shed a lot of things, so that our heart can be fully open. I strongly believe that the Lord, we want our understanding to be open. The Lord wants to give us eternal life. When the Lord met Paul, Paul encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, the same promise was given to Paul. Saul the Tarsus then converted to Paul. He said, to open the eyes of men that they might know him. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. He said, oh, King Agrippa, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly calling. He said, to open the eyes of men, to know him as the only God, that they might repent and have forgiveness of sin and have inheritance. The opening of the eyes. Not to wisdom of men, is to Jesus, to see Jesus, to see the pattern son. It doesn't require how much strength, but we have a battle here, but we shall be victorious. There are so much shock and there are so much provision to be victorious. Now, my rough edges or whatever is my problem is whatever has not passed through the cross. That which I have allowed, it is that one that is near to my brother that has not passed through the cross. Hallelujah. Now the Lord will want us to pass through the cross. Not only that, there is other aspect of it. He said, but if thou have known the gift of God that speaketh to thee, thou will have asked him of water. Now the knowing brings about a desire. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. When the Lord met the woman at the well of Samaria, the woman of the Samaria, he said, if thou hast known, you will have asked him for water, and that water will be in you a well springing up unto eternal life. We said that the promise, when you have the promise, there will be desire in you to thirst and to hunger. And he said, he that thirst after him and hunger after him, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Two things. This is where we want to be zeroing in. We want to talk about the well. We want to talk about the rivers. Regard to the promise. And the effect of these two
key elements that the Lord Jesus Christ drew or make mention of in his ministry in two encounters. They all tied to internal life. They all tied to the promise. Having the promise. If you don't have the promise, you can never have the desire. But I trust the Lord to cause us to see the promise today. As many that have not seen the promise, as many that have seen the promise, and their eyes have moved away from the promise, have shifted from the promise, I trust the Lord to also bring our attention, such attention back to the promise. Hallelujah. The well is so symbolic. The river is so symbolic. But both of them see hinge on man. Bring it that offering. Hallelujah. The well in Israel, every shepherd has a well, wants to have a well to water its flocks. Hallelujah. So it's key. There are a few elements I want to talk about: the well and also the rivers. The Bible said, if you will hear his voice today, harden not your heart as in the days of provocation. He said, in beholding him, even by the Spirit, that we are changed from glory to glory. The Spirit of the living God revealed Jesus on a daily basis to us. And we die daily. As Paul said, I die daily. Paul got to a point that he said, look, even this life, I don't count it so much worthy to me. He has crucified all the emotions. That he said, this life is not so dear to me that I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to bring the full offering to the Lord to complete that tabernacle. He said, for all the Father has contributed to that tabernacle. They have built their own path, but the tabernacle has not been finished. He said, they are waiting in hope for us to bring our offering as part of our stones or pillar in the house. What are we saying? If we give the right offering, the kingdom of God is established, is strengthened. Materials are provided for the building of the kingdom of God. We become pillar in the house of God. But when we provide the other offering, we also build pillars in the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. This dividing line, the Lord wants to set it straight. When a strong demand is placed upon my emotion, when I'm greatly provoked, when the Lord is required an offering of gold for me, do I just offer it as pertaining to man? When I'm greatly pressed, what do I offer? Hallelujah. As a young man who grew up in a village, I know the well is not, it takes a process. There are three stages in a well to keep a well alive. You first of all dig a well. After you dig a well, you have other three seasons when the well is established. You have when there is dry season. You need to dig again. You have when there is rainy season, where the water seep, all manner of seep comes into the well. You need to wait for the water to settle for you to be able to have a drink. Then you have a season where you have a crystal clear water, free season. In every ministry, every gift, when thoughts are flooding your mind, when there is dryness, it's only one season the Lord requires. When the water is clear. Brethren, the well, the Bible said the Philistines, they covered all the wells that Abraham had dug. They packed sand. They covered the cross. There was no way. Hallelujah. We must learn as the children of the husbandman. He is the husbandman. He talks about either as a farmer or as a shepherd. He relates in that sense. He gives us words. He doesn't give us money at hand. He can give, but he believes his word has no bound. It's a key that opens every door. So he gives us seed. Hallelujah. So he gives us wells. He won't give us just water. The water he gives to us form wells. But these wells require key-free attention. One of them, when the well is dry, we must dig. He said, if the people that have called by my name, if they will humble themselves and call upon my name, and I will hear them. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, I think so. Hallelujah. Saul said, he said, but the Lord did not speak. The Bible said the Lord did not speak to Saul. Whether through dreams, whether through prophet, or through the Urim and the Thummim, the Lord refused to speak. The Lord required just one thing. There was a dry season. But he turned aside, as we often do. He looked for the easiest means. Hallelujah. For the water the Lord gives, he doesn't take it, but something is required of us. When it is dry season, we must go down and dig and remove the mud. We must remove the sand. When it is season, when the rain is too much, when the flood is overwhelming our mind, we must stay calm. We must wait until all the many thoughts are taken away, that the crystal water may comfort. He said, for in that day, that there will be no, that bread will be available, but the word of the Lord will be scarce. Hallelujah. I want us to move on a bit to the river. He said, the water shall be in us. It shall spring up. I missed something about the well. In digging the well, there's two things the Lord told me in digging the well. You can dig manually. You can dig prophetically. The Bible says in the wilderness, they dug prophetically by the direction of the Lord giver. You can choose to dig manually. And all your knowledge and all your wisdom. But you can choose to allow the rivers to flow and submit to it. Say, harden not your heart. He said, son of man. He said, be not rebellious at this house. When I give you a word, eat it. Don't reject my word. For the word will set you on your feet. And he said, and the word set him on his feet. The word will awaken your soul. You are waking your mind. You will renew your mind. Hallelujah. Manually, you can use the wisdom of the word. All the things you have learned to do it. Hallelujah. But I trust the Lord that we will follow the direction of the Lord giver. We will follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. The living water that is flowing within us. To dig the well. We will speak. As the Holy Spirit gives us utterance, we will yield our hearts. Now there's something here that I want to bring out here before we move further on the promise. When the Lord said, son of man, don't be rebellious. Don't be rebellious. When I give you a word, you must eat it. Don't not at this house. There are two things that the Lord said to me. You know, we have learned to hear. We overcome the hearing. We seek to hear. You know, Israel, you know, the things we are overcoming are the seal that our forefather has formed. They refuse to hear. let somebody hear for them. But we have learned to hear, to draw near to hear. But he's beyond hearing. He's beyond this sweet in our mouth. He said, for our revelations are like honey. They're sweet. They are very sweet in the mouth. But he goes beyond that. The Bible said when Peter had the revelation that the Lord asked, he said, who did men say I am? He said, you are the Christ. He had a powerful revelation. Correct. Experientially, he was not there. He was only sweet in his mouth. He has not passed through his inward man. He has not entered his soul. But David said, he said, once have you spoken, twice have I heard. That power belongs to you. I will say to my soul, hope on the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord told Peter the things that pertain to that revelation. That look, I will be crucified. I will be killed. He said, look, what are you talking? You are joking. Forget about the cross. Don't even mention it. And the Lord said, Peter, Satan, get behind me. The forces that divert our attention away from the cross. When the word is not internalized, when the word is not taken, when the word is not heard the second time. You cannot believe the man who preached a powerful sermon. He said, you are the Christ. Just few minutes. When the iniquity or the direction, all that is required to perform or to bring that to pass, was told. He said, look, let's leave that thing. That is not the business of the day. Hallelujah. What am I saying, brethren? We must hear once. We must see what the Lord is saying. We must move. We must move from the realm of revelation. We must move into the realm. We must bring that word. We must preach that message to our soul. Hallelujah. When I look at Job, I understood that the soul doesn't hear easily. He said, oh my soul, forget not his benefit. He said, and their soul forget the Lord, all his miracle and his wonderful works. And they did not ask him for his counsel. They did not seek his counsel. They went their own way. But David said, my soul, trust in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. For the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. I don't know whether we will look at that psalm, but let me stay on this line, on this thought, without going there, because it may take me a bit longer. Taking the revelation, the water that the Lord gives, and allowing it to form us, it's key. On daily basis, the Lord ministers to us, but yielding ourselves to those things we have received of the Lord has not been very easy. It has not been very fruitful. We hear the Lord. When we speak accurately what the Lord is saying. But when we act, we don't act accurately. When we minister the things the Lord says, it shows that we hear them. But when that offering is required, when that demand for that offering is required, the needed growth, the needed foundation is not there. He said, he that heareth the word and doeth it, it is him that built upon the rock, it is him that is established. It's not the hearing. We are hearing it. The sower is ever sowing. In our morning devotion, in our evening devotion, in our walking in the street, the Lord is speaking. Brethren, there's something required. Let's look at David. He said, oh my soul, why are thou cast down? Put your hope back to God. Why are thou forsaking me? Why are thou disquiet within me? Then he took his soul and put it on the chair and addressed it. He said, oh my soul. He said, Lord, he said, I'm taking counsel within my soul, dark counsel. He said, look, you must come now. Thought has begun to arise within me. He's a man. The soul is a man. He hears. But it takes time to hear because they are sealed. They are covering. But Isaiah said, he said, in that day, we eat of that feast. As we eat of that feast, that covering over it will be broken. And that covering cast over it will be broken. And it will never be built again. Then we shall say to death. Then we shall know the Lord the way he is. Then we shall be full of light. We cannot address the things that harass us. He said, for perfect love casteth away our fear. Then we shall come to the full estate. Hallelujah. Brethren, the message of salvation must be preached in our tent in order to bring that offering. The Lord will bring forth his word again, the word of the Lord. The Lord will refine, will give grace to the well, to men to dig their wells. Wells that have experienced dryness, the Lord will release grace. The Lord will release keys to dig, remove the earth. It's easier to dig a new well. It's difficult during the dry season to dig further. It's not only digging further. After you have dug further, water has come. You must wait again. In the village, after we have removed the mud and water has come out, you have to wait another season for another separation. You see most water gushing out, but you can't drink of that water. Hallelujah. Brethren, we must move in moral perfection, but we must also move, realize that there is something needed for the flock, needed for our soul. We must bring ministry to our soul. We must bring ministry to ourselves. We must bring ministry to our home. We must bring ministry to the body. It requires attention. Bringing ministry to self is not easy. Paul said, having preached order, lest I be cast away, I bring myself under. He brings ministry to himself. He preached the same message to himself. He brings himself under the same messages. That was what was missing in Peter. Sharply, he rebuked it. That look, it can't be. Forget about the cross. Just become the Christ. But the Lord will have us to pass through the cross to form us exactly what he wants us to be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me take one more thought on this particular body, this thought in my heart about the internal life. We said that the fight is against the cross, is about Jesus. Men's ears don't like to hear about Jesus. It's difficult to hear Jesus. Hearing of Jesus is always woes. It's always difficult. But I've tried to check the Bible that the ministry or the rebukes, I've never seen any of them that was so sweet. I flipped through the Bible trying to see, is anywhere there was a rebuke that it was so sweet? I didn't see anyone. They were all very bitter, difficult to take. But in the end, the purpose of the Lord was established. Brethren, as we keep the wells open, as we dig, as we maintain the wells, as we yield our hearts to the ministry of perfection, a lot of things will be done. There's still one more thought in the well that is in my spirit, which has to do with faith. The ministry of faith, Jesus' mother taught the people who were at the feast when he was invited just about faith. He said, whatever he says to you, do it. It was taught at a very critical time, at the night time, at the time where there was a demand. Brethren, faith must arise in our hearts to believe God as he reveals himself unto us. He said when he reveals his word, he causes us to, as he gives us his word, we eat it. That word causes us to be on our feet. Ezekiel said, and I was on my feet. And the word of the Lord came to me, and the spirit of the Lord was upon me, and I was on my feet. I don't know where he was before, but the word of the Lord caused him to be on his feet. Not only on his feet, he also gave him dominion, authority over his soul, over his desire, over his mind, to say no to his emotion and say, only thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, for the Lord has given me power over all flesh. And this is the internal life. And he said, all that he had, all that he has received of the Father, the glory he has given unto us. He said, oh Lord, the glory I have what? Committed to this one. Hallelujah. What are we saying? The rivers bring inner strengthening. It brings renewal of the promise. It brings fresh awareness. It causes us to come to our feet and show us also the path. As he shows us the path, it becomes a defense. You see, and they overcame me by the blood of the Lamb, by the life of the Lamb, a life that has totally subdued himself. And the words of their testimony. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are only made mighty, more mighty as we deny ourselves. Now, what am I saying? The operation of the well, the full operation of the well, is built on the cross. Yesterday we were told about atonement. Atonement for the soul. You know, faith is atonement. You are not sure if it's going to happen. The word that you have heard, you are not sure, but you know. If it fails, you know men will mock you. The first thought that comes to you, if that word fails, men will mock you. But you rise, you atone for your soul, and declare in faith that this is what the Lord is saying, and this is what shall be. He said, because I have set thee over the nation. The word I have given you, the Lord brought ministry to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was murmuring and complaining, and the Lord touched him. The touch speaks of ministry. It speaks of impartation. The Lord ministered to him and lifted him from the realm of man and installed him a place of authority. Each time the Lord gives us a word, he touched us. He has brought ministry to us. He has installed us in a capacity beyond the human being, beyond the human realm, beyond the natural. We must know it. Every word that the Lord brings to us also meets with trials. Because the word, hallelujah, the first trial is your soul. As soon as your soul has bitterness and trouble with that word, know that the word will be trouble. If your soul overcome it, know that all the soul in the world will trouble you in that word. If that word do not have trouble in your soul, go back to the Lord. Or know that you have attained. When the word of the Lord comes, the first thing is a dealing in your life. It's a struggle. It says, and the word shall be sweet in your mouth and be bitter in your your belly. As soon as your soul overcome, known as the beginning of tribulation, beginning of suffering, because all the souls of men that were like your soul, we struggle at that word, because that word has become a pillar. Hallelujah. But we, most time we falter, but I trust the Lord to give us strength to our feet, to our knees, to walk in a part of the word that we will not fall when the Lord gives us a word in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin to round up here. The faith of operation of God. I want to say this to our own shame. I want to just say it in a clear and a simple way. Most of you that have tasted the glory of God, the sweet power of God, I don't know how much perfect you were at the time that you tasted the good word of the Lord, or you demonstrated the word of the Lord. This is something that the Lord ministered to my heart. We are hinging the promise for tomorrow. The promise is not for tomorrow, it's for now. We must rise up and enter into it. Now, the men who use the well that the Lord gave to them and make exploit for the Lord, some of them have no moral perfection as you. It is faith. Your faith has moved away from the righteousness of the Lord into you becoming perfect until that thing will happen. That is the lie of the enemy. You must, he said, in that day Judah shall be delivered. When Judah shall be saved, and my people shall call me what? The Lord our righteousness. When you come to taking of the well, it is not of your work, it is not of your righteousness. You have come to a point that you stand upon the righteousness of Jehovah, and your faith must go forth. Now, brethren, a lot of wells have not brought forth water in a long time. The faith of operation of the kingdom of heaven is different from moral perfection. Now, we move in moral perfection. He talks about the well, he talks about the river. The water he gives forming a rivers of life, bringing moral beauty unto us. And the wells of salvation, say with joy shall you draw water for salvation, that which will perfect the saints. Then we have shy away from it. Now, the promise cannot be realized if we are run short of any aspect of it. I've tried to ask the Lord, what has happened? The Lord said, one thing the Lord told me, that he has not changed. That the things he has committed into our hands has not changed. But we have choose not to move in faith. We have choose to look at our deadness of ourselves. We have choose to look at our situation. We have choose to look at our position. And our eyes are continually remaining in our position. All the promise, they were all hinged on Jesus of the well. All the promise that pertain to well, I don't know, all the scholar of scripture will say so. He said, look, they that believe in his name, as far as bringing water from the well, all hinged on him, not on you. Hallelujah. Let me say one more thing about the word of the Lord. I read Amos chapter 8, verse 11. And John chapter 6, verse 63. Those two scriptures. He said the words that he speaks are spirit and life. When he talks about life, if you look at Matthew, hallelujah. He's talking about virtue. The well must be filled with virtue. The well that the Lord gives. The water that have formed wells must be filled with virtues. And when we draw from it, it brings forth that life. Now he's talking about something. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, he's talking about what you impart. He's talking about what his ministry brings forth.
Matthew chapter 5, he talks about every ministry, the word of the Lord, the what it contains. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and see what is scarce. He says, in that day, there will be abundance of bread, that there will be famine, that he will send famine, but not of bread, but of the word of the Lord. Of the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5 is one of the greatest sermons that the Lord preached among the sermon of the Holy Spirit we have been looking at in John. It talks about the poor in the spirit. Verse 3. It talks about them that mourn. It talks about the meek. It talks about the hunger. It talks about the merciful. It talks about pure in heart and the peacemaker. These are quality in the world. These are the things that when he says the words I speak to you are life, they carry this. When the ministry is void of this element, it cannot bring forth the man. It cannot lift up the man to that place of the promise. Hallelujah. Now what are we saying? There is a demand upon us. The world has a demand upon us. But the issue here, what we want, it's what we eat, what we offer, that determine our names. It's not the names we call ourselves. Israel called themselves the children of Abraham, but the Lord Jesus said, he said they are of the world. He said, for he came to his own, and his own did not know him. He said, his disciples are not of the world, and he has chosen his disciples from the world. He was talking to Israel. Although they are children of Israel, but they are of the world, because they eat of the world, they offer to the world, they do not offer to the Lord. Our offering determines our estate. Now, there is a building, brethren. There is an offering the Lord requires of us. Sometimes, it's too difficult to offer. But I trust the Lord to give us grace. So bring that offering. He desires to bring an offering to build that tabernacle. He wants to dwell here. But he cannot dwell with the birds of the air. He cannot dwell with the fish of the sea. He cannot dwell with all of them. He wants to dwell here. So long they have food to eat inside, they will remain. When the Lord was to deliver Nebuchadnezzar, he destroyed him. All the things that were sustaining all the birds, he took it away. The cross. But then we must shift our position. We must be empty from vessel to vessel. We must empty ourselves. We have come to this point, brethren. We cannot linger anymore. We cannot be pillar outside. We must be pillar inside. We must not turn from the world. It will be of no value to the kingdom of heaven to be pillar outside. He said, Lot's wife became a pillar of salt outside. Brethren, to recap, Abraham had a promise. Lord did not have the promise. Men that have done exploit for the Lord, their eyes are upon the promise. Their eyes are not upon the things they will gain here. It's on the promise. If you have the promise, you will endure the cross. The cross will be sweet, though it's bitter. I trust the Lord to baptize us into the promise. I trust the Lord to open our eyes of understanding. I trust the Lord to cause the word to enter, cause the deadness, the dead layer of our soul to be taken away. I trust the Holy Spirit to cause us to behold Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to stop here. There's a song that came to my heart. There are so many. I still have many things to say, but I feel I should stop here. It's needful for me to stop here.
we must have the faith in the operation of God as we look for that city, as we move towards building that tabernacle, as we move toward perfection. Brethren, we must not run short of the water of the well. The well is ever, the Lord ever filled the well. He's the one that filled it all in all. The Lord will give us ability, even in the wilderness. He will cause us to dig. He has told us that it is possible anywhere. It's possible in anybody's life. He said in the wilderness, they dug with staffs, and water came forth. They prophesied, and they were heard and brought forth water unto them. He said, oh, spring up, what? Oh, well, and give to us. Brethren, the Lord will have us to dig in a prophetic way. The Lord will have us to humble ourselves. The Lord will have us to walk and wait when thoughts are arising. And know how to separate, wait for the water to settle. Though there is a word inside, but thoughts are arising from left and right. We must wait. The seeping from the floor, from the earth is coming in. We must wait for those waters to settle. When earth has covered, whether by dry season or by the activity of the kingdom of darkness, we must dig. There are a lot of things that the enemy can use to cover the wells. I won't go into that, but I trust the Lord as ministry comfort. They will be spoken about, they will be mentioned if it's in the mind of the Lord. But we must know that we own a duty to the Lord to maintain those wells, and also to have the faith of operation of God, and also to bring ministry to ourselves. What ministry is Jesus? We must bring Jesus to ourselves. We are talking about the promise without Jesus, like Peter. You are the Christ. That's what we are saying. You are the Christ. But we don't want the cross. We don't want to hear about the cross. Not that we don't want the cross. We don't want to hear about the cross. We feel the cross is about woe, woe, woe. But we must hear about the cross. Amen. When the Lord quickened Philip, he said, and he preached Jesus. It was Jesus he preached. And when the Bible said in Hebrew, he said, look up to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will fasten our heart. It will give us grace to keep our focus on Him, and it will keep us in perfect peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The song that came to my heart is a sanctuary. It said, my body is your sanctuary. I just want us to sing in a few times before I take my seat. I trust the Lord to cause us to reflect.
Is your sanctuary my body? Is your sanctuary purify me like gold, that I might be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. Purify me like gold, so I might be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. Purify me like gold, your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary. Purify me like gold, so I might be bold to say, my body is your sanctuary.